Visible is a wireless carrier that is not invisible. It is pretty clear from the name. Actually, radio waves are invisible. And I can say this with authority as a licensed amateur radio operator. That being said, Visible won't be giving you the power to see light outside the visible spectrum. It's actually way better because having that ability would make getting around very difficult and distracting. What you do get with Visible is unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You get one line of wireless, just $25 a month, which is great in these times of economic uncertainty. That is one line for $25, taxes and fees included. So whatever you're doing at this moment, please stop. Switch immediately. Now, monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com. Wir gerne sehen, was ist los? It's deinen Freund Seth. I'm learning German. Yeah, in case you didn't know what that was. That is me trying to impress you with the little German that I know. Right now, I am actually learning German. I took it in high school. I goofed off the entire time. I did some other language learning apps. They taught me things like where the taxi stand is and how to find a bus, but not a lot of conversational German. Thankfully, that's what Babbel is all about. Babbel teaches you language conversationally, which, let's face it, that is what you want to know anyway. I don't know. When I was in school, you learned like how to count. You learned like the colors. You learned the shapes. Those are all important things, but they don't help you when you're in like Cologne, Germany with Ein Nierenstein, which, by the way, is German for kidney stone, an experience I can unfortunately speak personally to. But I've been using Babbel to learn to speak German again, better than I have before. I actually really like it because it is conversational. It's a little bit more relaxed. One of the things that it does that I really like is it'll sometimes show you what the literal English translation is. And I don't know why, but I find that very helpful in sort of understanding the structure, the grammar of a language and sort of putting myself into that mind space. Since I'm only in Germany for Gamescom, which is like a week, week and a half, I'm not immersed in the German language. I'm not immersed in German culture. So what I do is the second best thing. I'm taking Babbel. Hopefully this year when I go to Germany, I'll be able to impress all the Germans with how much German I know from learning through Babbel. The app has pronunciation recognition, so you'll be able to learn how to speak better with your accent, how to actually properly pronounce the words. That way you won't get made fun of by a group of older German men because you said apple strudel and not Apfelstrudel. No, it's really cool. I'm going to say right now there is a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, because you guys are the best ones, by the way, at babbel.com/realm. Get 60% off at babbel.com/realm. That is spelled babbel.com/realm. Rules and restrictions may apply.
IGN Playlist is a new home to your game library. Rate games, share lists, and log your game time powered by How Long to Beat. Sign up for early access today at playlist.ign.com. Listen.
Welcome, everyone, Super Ninfriendos, to the first 2022 episode of Nintendo Voice Chat. I am your host, Seth Macy. Very excited to be back. With me is, of course, industry legend Kat Bailey.
Hello, Seth. At last, we are going to be playing Breath of the Wild 2. I cannot wait.
Oh, my God. And the person who leaked the release date for Breath of the Wild 2, Per Schneider.
That's right. That's right. Thank you. The famous leaker.
Yeah. But we have a surprise for listeners. If you're watching this on the video, you can play, who's that Pokemon? Who could it be?
It's Charmander.
It's, Kat, you already gave it away before anyone had a chance to guess. But yes, it is Charmander. No, we have a special guest in the fourth chair today with us. Is Casey DeFreitas? Yeah! Welcome, Casey. Thank you so much for joining us. We're so happy.
That wasn't me. That was Waluigi. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
Waluigi, the famous 152nd Pokemon.
you're alive. Welcome back.
I'm alive. Hi.
Where were
What's
you?
What's up, everyone? I'm so happy to be back.
So happy to have you back.
I was Where was I? I was in Florida? No, but...
Were you in Wikilands?
I was in Wikilands. I was in Pokemon Wikilands. I was in Getting Married Lands. And now I'm
congratulations.
Back. Congratulations.
Done. Yes.
Thank
congratulations.
You. I had a Monster Hunter cake, and that's all I wanted. And
a Monster Hunter cake? It
was
amazing.
It was successful. That's all I wanted. It was all good. I wore a cape. It's a good time.
Sounds like the best wedding ever.
Yeah, it does. It looked really, it looked beautiful. Mm. And you're a gorgeous bride, and congratulations. And we're very happy for you.
Thanks, guys. I'm so happy to be back to talk about Nintendo with you.
I know. We're so happy. And like everyone, you know, people are always like, where's Casey? Seth, go away. Casey, come back. So like, hi, you have us both now. So guess what? Let's jump right into it, because we're going to be talking about the five most exciting Nintendo Switch games of 2022. In case you didn't notice, there's some big games coming out this year, and we're going to give you our individual thoughts. Let's start with Pokemon Arceus. Casey, do you have any strong opinions about Pokemon?
I have some strong opinions about Pokemon. Yes, sometimes, occasionally. I mean, it's not often that I have opinions on Pokemon, but anyway, Pokemon Legends Arceus. I am very excited to see Game Freak's take on like a new kind of formula. They're going completely outside of the normal core gameplay. There's a lot more action involved. I'm not sure how relevant the action will be in Pokemon Legends Arceus, but we did get to see some additional gameplay. So if you're watching the video right now, you can see the Japanese text on the screen, because this is from a Japanese show called Cat Mario show. It's like hosted by Cat Mario. I don't know, but we got to see some actual gameplay footage in this video that was posted last month. So you kind of see more of the action elements here, and I'm really excited to see that, because it makes things just a little bit more interesting, and it's a lot less tiresome, I feel like, to just throw a Pokeball and have it immediately be captured, if that can happen, instead of having to activate a battle every time you want to do that. I also think they're going to be at least some crafting and survival elements in here. Like maybe you have to prepare. I don't know. It's all a lot of speculation, because no one has gotten hands on with this game. There has been a leaker who has said a couple of things like, this is going to be the longest game in the series so far. I don't know. I feel like I doubt that. It's going to be a little bit more difficult. There are going to be survival mechanics, but we don't actually know, because no one has been able to go hands on with this. So I feel like a lot of the information, we're having to do a lot more work deciphering what this game is actually going to be like, because we have had no hands-on impressions like we usually do with games. Like usually by this point, we have had a first impressions from someone who has been able to go hands-on, and we don't have anything. So it's really just all based on the trailers that we're looking at.
And Casey's burying the lead. A show hosted by Cat Mario?
Yeah.
Sounds like the best thing ever.
A show host, the voices are very cute. But I think it's just a Nintendo variety news show where they sometimes show new footage and talk about upcoming games and maybe past games that you might be interested in. The same segment they showed Mario Party Superstars, for example, but also some of Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl that had already come out. So I don't know, interesting Japanese show to look in if you really want to do some sleuthing, just pick out some additional footage if it ever comes out. In this footage, you also see you're able to throw a Pokeball from the back of your ride Pokemon, which I think is so cool. And they're also
there they are.
Yeah,
the little puppets.
Here's the Cat Marios and Cat Peach. They're very cute.
It is adorable.
I love it. This is wonderful.
This is a first quarter game, right?
Yeah, this comes out January 28th. Yeah. Yes, January 28th. In 3 weeks. I'm scared. I'm so scared. I'm so happy. I'm so excited to play this. I'm also really interested in the story elements in this game, because there seems to be so much more story in this game than other Pokemon games. So this game is set in feudal Sinnoh, and back then it was called Hisui, and Sinnoh, as we all know, is the fourth generation region that we have just revisited in Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. And there are factions. There's the Pearl and Diamond faction. There are merchants. There seems to be some they're not descendants, ancestors of characters that we know very well in Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, which is quite interesting to see. Wow. And there is some mystery with these noble Pokemon that you see here. They get frenzied and you have to go and calm them down, but they're qu- quite revered by the different villages back in the day there. There's so much to it, and it seems to be have a lot of, at least some focus on death. It's already getting pretty dark with its storytelling. So they showed a like found footage trailer of where some person had a camera for some, I don't know how this works. Someone had a camera
like
back then.
Blair Witch Project.
Yeah, right. And he's going and he's like, oh, I saw that thing. I wonder what it is. And he goes and finds it. And then he's like, oh, it's white and it's fluffy and it has some red on it. And then he just gets wrecked. Some like terrifying thing comes out of the woods. And then the camera just drops and you don't know what happens to him. But we find out that this is actually Zora and Zoroark. But if you read the description on the official website, these are Zoro and Zoroark who were driven to Hisui by fearful humans. So they ran away from humans trying to destroy them all. And then they died anyway because Hisui is too harsh of an environment for them. So they're fueled by pure spite and have resurrected as ghost and normal type Pokemon.
Twitter type Pokemon.
These are the spiteful fox Pokemon. They just came back just fueled by spite and malice. And we know that if someone, their illusions are so powerful that they actually can do physical harm. Wow. And that if you see one of these illusions, you'll probably not be around anymore. So there's Zora and Zoroark. And then Basculegion, the fish Pokemon that you'll be riding on, is also a ghost type Pokemon. And this is a new evolution of Basculin. And the way that this evolves is that a school of Basculin is traveling upstream in Hisui. And the region is so harsh and hard to live in that every single school member dies until there's one left. And then that one Basculin sucks up the energy of all the spirits of its dead schoolmates and then evolves into a Basculegion.
Whoa.
But anyway, sounds cool. I'm into it. I'm excited to play.
I'm into it too. Kat, what do you think about Pokemon Arceus knowing that there's a ghost fish?
I think that we know next to nothing about this game, and I'm really curious to see what ultimately comes of it. There's been a lot of discourse around the graphics in particular. Mm. I am of the mind that I think that artistically it looks fine. As long as the systems are good, as long as the frame rate holds up, it should be okay. I'm not going to put a lot of stock in the fact that they haven't shown a ton of this game, because I think that they wanted to focus on Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl first. Mm-hmm. I'm expecting a pretty good wave of information over the next couple of weeks as they really go and try and promote this game as much as possible. The question that I'm curious about, and I'm curious for your thoughts on this as well, Casey, is what this might ultimately mean for the future of Pokemon. Because I'm curious, if this game is wildly successful and a big hit, will that start getting the Pokemon company, for example, to think, oh, maybe we should try a similar approach with Pokemon Gen 9, which, who knows when it's coming out, could be next year, maybe?
Mm. Yeah, I don't think they will ever completely abandon the core RPG that they have been building upon for the last many years. And I know that this just seems much more story involved, like a story driven RPG versus the very heavily like gameplay mechanics of the other one. I know people are saying like what gameplay mechanics, but as Kat knows, and as you guys know, I've talked about it before, there's a competitive angle with the core games. Once you've beaten the game, you breed your Pokemon. And I don't see that being a focus in the Legends series. I see this, if it goes well, it will potentially become a spin-off series, but I don't think, no matter what, I think the next gen of Pokemon is already in development. I think we're going to hear about it this year. No. So we get a new gen of Pokemon. When I say new gen, I mean they introduce a new batch of new Pokemon. And I'm
the new batch. Sorry.
Yeah, the new batch. No. And I'm 90% sure we're going to hear about that generation this year, because it is time for a new generation to come out. New generations of Pokemon have come out every 3 to 4 years, and this is the 3-year mark. It could be 4. I mean, they were developing this. They also did Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, which wasn't done by Game Freak, but you know, that's a lot of Pokemon games to come out.
Yeah.
But if anything, I'm we will hear about it this year.
Yeah.
Hold on. The predictions is the next segment.
Okay, it's the next, segment. I'm sorry.
Oh my God, Casey, you're getting ahead of the running show. What are you doing?
I don't know what to do now. I'm not
good at this. Chaos.
This is leaking.
I'm leaking the next topic. I'm sorry.
But no, just quickly, I think what you're saying, though, about this possibly being a spinoff and not making its way back into the main series is important, because we've seen that before with Pokemon. If you guys remember Pokemon XD, Gale of Darkness, it was this exploration, which at the time we're like, ooh, is this the new direction for Pokemon? And the answer was no, right? And like, I feel like it's almost like Monster Hunter Stories, where the company is experimenting, and maybe some elements will come back. Maybe the game, the style and the viewpoint and all of that may change in future Pokemon games, but we'll see. I have a feeling this is great engine. Don't you guys want to use it? Yeah, let us try. Oh my God, that was really hard. Let's never do that again. I think that's what's going to happen here.
But to your point, Air, I think that this is a safe way for them to experiment with new concepts without necessarily impacting the mainline series. And fans have been asking for a game like Arceus for years and years and years at this point. And this is, I guess, their way of saying, okay, but what would this game look like? And if it's a major success, I have to imagine, if not Gen 9, which I agree with Casey, I think it is actually in development right now, maybe Gen 10 maybe is a departure at some point where they go, well, okay, we've shown that Pokemon Legends can be a big success. Let's shake up the formula.
I guess my other thought as well is, like, if they can have two wildly successful games every year, why only do one?
Right.
I guess.
Why do two?
Yeah. Why not one? Do two. Do the core series and a Legends series. And it seems, I mean, I feel like if they continue with Legends, they would continue revisiting the feudal eras of the regions as we know now. And a lot of people, there's been some discourse about this, that people are arguing Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl aren't the reimagined. They are remasters, and Legends Arceus is the remake. But I don't really see that, because it's so wildly different. But that is the reimagining of the region itself.
Yeah.
You see, this is getting in the weeds. I think it's funny that Sinnoh is the region that they picked and not Johto, which is much more like Kyoto and would be like the natural pick for the kind of the feudal setting, but they instead went with Sinnoh. I get that they're like, well, Sinnoh, it's popular and we want to kind of re-elevate it, and it has a little bit of that mystery, but this is just a random Pokemon observation. Since you're here, and I can gab and discourse about Pokemon with you.
What was the name of the feudal version?
Hisui.
Pokemon Legends Arceus.
Bless you. That's all. I just wanted to make that horrible.
Is it Arceus or Arceus? I can never get it right. I think it's Arceus.
It was originally Arceus, and then Pokemon Company marketing was like, "Well, that sounds like Arce, so we should do Arceus instead."
That makes sense for our listeners across the pond. Pokemon.
Both are canon, and both is fine.
Yeah, it's whatever you feel like. I think it looks like Pokemon Xenoblade, so I'll be more than happy to try it out. And then get distracted by something else. Because I think
this year I decided I actually wanted to like follow hockey a little bit more than just the most casual of casuals. So I subscribed to a service that streams all of the NHL to your television. The Boston Bruins home opener, I went to watch it, and boom, blackout restrictions apply, which I thought was kind of ridiculous because I'm still 200 miles away from Boston, but whatever. Had I had NordVPN, that wouldn't have been a problem. I would have just gone in, changed my settings to another geographic area, and boom, I could have been watching all the Boston Bruins home games like it was nothing at all. So now I have NordVPN, and I can watch the home games of my local teams streaming without being frustrated. It's the same thing with like Netflix. It has all these complicated licensing rules, which from one country to another don't really make sense. So something you could watch on South Korean Netflix, you won't be able to watch on the United States Netflix, unless NordVPN, boom, switch to South Korea, and you're watching whatever Korean drama that you want I highly recommend you do that. I haven't done it myself, but people seem to enjoy them. And who am I to try to bring down people's enjoyment? NordVPN, more than just entertainment and sports availability, it's going to protect you, especially when you're traveling, when you're using public Wi-Fi. People are trying to get in there. They're creeping on you. Bad actors, people trying to steal your password, your bank account details. Who knows what the government's doing these days? I can't keep track. They're all over the damn place. NordVPN is going to protect you. It's going to protect up to 6 devices, because I know you have at least that many devices in front of you right now that can hook up to the internet. Boom. Fastest VPN in the world. You're not going to get any buffering. You're not going to get any lagging. It's going to stop your ISP from bandwidth throttling, which they do. That's kind of sneaky, especially how much you're paying those guys. There's threat protection to protect you from viruses and malicious malware and whatever else unsavory actors are out there. If you want to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/NintendoVC. That's nordvpn.com/NintendoVC. Victor Charlie. That link is also going to give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There is no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nice of them, and I appreciate that.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts, with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for 2 women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.
That's what's going to happen with...
That's the way of things. You mean like Elden Ring?
Oh my God.
Do not speak of Nintendo.
Yeah, we won't talk about Elden Ring, but this will come out first anyway. So everyone can get distracted by that. So our next game that's coming out this year, the biggest Switch game of Nintendo of 2022, Splatoon 3, which is kind of crazy because Splatoon is such a like a delightful surprise for the Wii U. One of the like most stylish and stylistic games on the system. I absolutely love the way Splatoon just looks and sounds, mm-hmm. and it's all these touches that it has, this weird kind of 90s alternate reality sort of aesthetic about it. I don't play Splatoon nearly as much as I should, and I don't understand why. There's something fundamentally wrong with me. But Per, do you have any thoughts about Splatoon 3?
Yeah, and I haven't played Splatoon 2 in ages either. It's just, it's such a huge time commitment when you have a game like that. And, you know, when it comes to online games, I'm usually a one game guy. Like I'm just playing Forza Horizon right now as an online game. And so I don't have time for this, but I love Splatoon 2. I played it a ton when it came out. I'm really looking forward to it. I am, you know, aside from hoping that there will be another clever co-op mode, which I always gravitate towards, like playing with friends against, PvE, basically. I'm hoping that Splatoon 3 will be accompanied by better online tools in general.
Yeah.
One of the biggest issues with Switch was just how segmented everything is, how you have to go through an app and then, you know, they launched the app and then didn't support it for most games. Like, it is time. Like, if this is the flagship online game ahead of the whatever the next Mario Kart will be, hopefully this comes with new tools too.
Yeah. Splatoon's a weird one because I love it and I love the mechanics of it. And I love, like I said before, I love the style of it. But I feel like it should be so much bigger than it is. And I know that Splatoon 2 was, like, you know, from a sales perspective, a huge success, but I don't see kids wearing like Splatoon t-shirts. I see kids wearing Minecraft t-shirts and Fortnite t-shirts and Roblox t-shirts. And I never,
so you're
see
saying
them.
Splatoon isn't as popular as Minecraft and Fortnite. Therefore,
well, okay,
it's not in the zeitgeist.
No. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying it should be as popular as those because it's so good.
Well, it is better than either of those games. Sorry.
I disagree on Minecraft. Minecraft is one of the greatest games of all time. Probably the game I've played most of all. But however, I'll concede you Fortnite. I've actually never played
it. I think Splatoon is more popular in Japan. I think so. I did go to Nintendo Live. What year was that?
20... 1,000 years ago.
Yeah, when we were all allowed to do things. Was it 2018 or 2019?
I think it was 20. Yeah.
I think it was 2019. But
it's in the 2000s somewhere.
Sometime in the before times, I went to Nintendo Live in Japan, and Splatoon was definitely the biggest display there. It had the most fans. A bunch of kids had Splatoon t-shirts. It was a very big focus. There was a Splatoon concert, which was very cool. And that was definitely the most popular representation at that event, was definitely Splatoon 2.
Yeah. Let remember, it's 2017 is when Splatoon 2 came out, right? It's been a while. Wow. Nintendo did a really nice job keeping it alive, but it was really before it introduced the kind of the concepts of like the Tetris 99 and these kind of little game releases and themes that keep Nintendo Online chugging around. And like, you could imagine that maybe Splatoon 3 will be much more core to the Nintendo Online experience with more than just the themed the theme tournaments, like some bigger content drops.
Yeah.
Are we ready for ketchup and mayo part two?
Yeah.
That's where my joke was gonna go too. So I mean, uh-huh. I guess we all want to know, ketchup or mayo.
Oh, mayo for sure.
Mayo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Team mayo right here.
Team mayo.
Ketchup is tomato murder.
What do you eat French fries with mayonnaise?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
And ketchup.
It's the best way to do it. Spicy mayo. It's delicious.
Mm. Yeah. I like a curry mayo, but
Seth, you're learning German right now, right? In Germany we say Pommes Rot-Weiß, which is French fries red white. Or Pommes Bahnschranke, which is whatever. It's a train crossing barrier which is red and white striped. Because it's so common to have ketchup and mayo on your fries.
Wow.
Yep.
Thank you for that lesson in language and in cuisine.
No, all right. So
that's why we have hair around.
My answer would be ketchup and versus mayo, both, obviously.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think you're allowed to do that though, but that's fine.
It's against the law.
I can have two characters.
Two Nintendo accounts and fight for both.
There you go. Right. Actually, I know I'm jumping ahead myself now, but Splatoon 3, we're going to have three choices: ketchup, mayo, or mustard. And that's going to be what everyone is battling over.
I see. So it's three-way battles. Got it.
Splatoon 3, it's right there in the name. You think it's because it's the sequel, but it's three-way battles.
We're not in the prediction section.
Oh, dang it. That's right.
That is brilliant.
Well,
Splatoon is the coolest Nintendo franchise. That's what I'm going to say about that. And I can't wait to play Splatoon 3. It was, when it came out some years ago on the Wii U, it was kind of one of the freshest and hip and with it Nintendo games. Like, all of the kids love it. I don't know. But I don't know. No, when I play it, I'm like, wow, I didn't know Nintendo could be cool, but here we are.
Yeah, that's what I love about it. It just has such a cool, like, it's like a 90s sort of early 2000s, but not the new metal stuff, the good stuff, the cool stuff that you like. When you can make the music change by pushing the control stick in a different direction, then it's like, it just sounds good no matter what you do. Yeah, this is, I agree, is what I'm trying to say. Yeah, this is the coolest Nintendo game, and it's kind of surprising how cool it is. And I always loved that Splatoon 2 came out so fast, because they're like, oh my god, we did this great thing with Splatoon 1, but it's on Wii U, crap. So they made Splatoon 2, and now we're
still Splatoon playing 2. Mario Kart 8.
Yeah, so it's 38 million people playing Mario Kart 8, and we'll never see Mario Kart 9. That's okay. What we will see this year is Bayonetta 3. Three different Bayonettas in the same game. That's not true at all. Bayonetta 3 was kind of, we didn't know if we were going to ever see that. And then, surprise, there it was with a great trailer. Kat, are you a Bayonetta fan at all?
I have a lot of respect for the Bayonetta series. It's one of the best.
So no.
Well, no, I played Bayonetta 1 and 2, and it's one of the best pure action series that you're going to find practically anywhere. I think it's better than Devil May Cry. I'm team Bayonetta.
I would agree with you on that one. Yeah.
It's just, it's a ludicrous game. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. It's sexy. And Bayonetta 1 and 2 are on the Nintendo Switch and you can play them right now. And my God, those games, they hold up.
Yeah.
My favorite Bayonetta memory is the first time I ever heard it was when I was transcribing interviews with Kamiya, I think it was. And all I could hear was the demo in the background and they're going, whoa, what's going on with their hair? Oh my God. Because, you know, her hair is eating people and everything. It's great.
Yeah.
But no, Bayonetta 3, apparently it's been going through a fair number of development troubles and that kind of thing. It's been quite a while since we've seen this one. I'm sure it'll turn out to be good because Platinum, they're the action experts.
Yeah. So
if there's nothing else, we'll get that. But on the other hand, I don't think Bayonetta 3 is going to hit quite as hard when it comes up because it's a cult favorite, but it is very much a cult favorite of a series.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you there. I think of all the big, quote unquote, big games, this is the least big that's coming to Nintendo. Like, it'll be well received. And like you said, the cult fans will go crazy for it. I know I'm going to buy it and play it day one and enjoy it.
Since then, Bayonetta has been added to Smash, so like maybe more people will be interested.
That is true.
Because of that, more people being exposed to her character.
She's one of the worst Smash characters, so.
I know, but she was broken in the Wii U version.
She's absurdly overpowered, and now she's just bottom tier.
Sorry. Sorry, Bayonetta.
Well, she has a great amiibo. We can all agree on that. But Parrot, you have any thoughts? Oh, so go ahead,
Casey. No. Yeah, have Parrot go first.
No, look, I only play them because Casey's in it. But I'm like Kat. I have great respect for him. It's not my type of game. It's a Mitchell Saltzman game. If you know Mitchell, it's
a Souls game. Hardcore action.
I always feel like these games require more skill than I actually have, but I do enjoy playing them, and I really enjoy them just because of the craziness of like how it like just mixes Japanese folklore with weird fever dreams and then somehow makes the biggest bosses appear on screen and still run it at 60 frames per second. And like, you know, I'm a simple man that way. Like when I see that sort of graphic prowess on display on the little Switch, I get very happy.
What were you going to say, Casey?
So, all right. And before I say this, I'm going to recognize that it is absurd. And also, I would never make this criticism to someone in real life, but it's been really bothering me and I just have to say it. Can we please talk about Bayonetta's makeup in Bayonetta 3? Like, okay, look, so this is her makeup. If you're looking at the video, this is her makeup from the first Bayonetta. Mm-hmm. It's a very smoky, dramatic, like dark purple eyeshadow look, and she does tight lining with her eyeliner. I know most of you don't know what the hell I'm talking about, but just follow.
Well, we're learning.
There's a cohesive color story to her makeup. She has like her lips, but better dark nude color. Like it's all mostly like cool tone. Her lips a little bit more neutral rather than cool tone, but it works, right? Mm-hmm. And here's just some more like nude color, really dark, dramatic eyeshadow goes up to her eyebrows. Usually a no, but you know what? Bayonetta pulls it off very well. And if we look at her makeup in the second game, it's basically the same kind of look, but her lips are a little bit more berry toned. Still super works, extremely cohesive, same color story. Looks great. Good job, Bayonetta. Your makeup is perfect. Now let's look at her makeup in Bayonetta 3.
All right.
Wait for it.
Oh.
So it's bright pink. She is not, her eye makeup does not go up anymore. It kind of stops in the lower crease, which makes her eyes look a little bit smaller. Her under eyeliner is not blended. She has a coral cheek color and a frosted pink lipstick out of the 90s. And I'm just like, what are you thinking? What are you doing?
You know what it is? It's pre-production makeup.
It's rehearsal.
I mean, maybe it is. I mean, like, I understand wanting to experiment with makeup colors and everything, but like the cool toned bright pink with orange blush.
Yeah, no. I'm not like I don't know anything about makeup.
Casey, I'm here for Bayonetta makeup.
This is the greatest new segment.
Here's my theory.
I have a theory, but you go first.
My theory is that Platinum looked at the makeup trends of the 2020s and were like, what are the Zoomers wearing? Well, they're going for like much more kind of brighter, esoteric, garish makeup. So let's go with it with Bayonetta. That's what we're doing. She's with it. She's with the kids.
But they, I don't know, man. I follow a lot.
I'm not saying that they're pulling it off.
Here. I know. I follow a lot of influencers. I don't think any of them would pair a bright pink eye makeup and lipstick with an orange cheek. I'm sorry. And
it's a fundamental misunderstanding.
And I also just further, I would never criticize someone in real life. The only reason I'm doing this is because it's a fictional character. But if that is the makeup you like, you freaking rock it. But for someone else, for like someone who's had a signature makeup look to go to this, I'm just like, what are you doing? So here's, I do have a small theory.
Oh, okay.
So if you see her hairstyle in Bayonetta 3,
yes,
this is a spoiler. So I'm not going to say it, but if you know where that hairstyle is from. And that pink makeup is kind of a little bit more childlike. So like,
oh,
you know, that could be it. If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. Maybe I should.
You're
just
saying there's
it.
A method to like, the bad.
There
makeup.
Might be a method, and there might be a story reason as to why her makeup is bright pink and looks like something a 12-year-old would do.
I like to think that there's somebody at Platinum listening right now, being like, "Oh my God, we've done it all wrong. We screwed everything up."
I think if they went with a darker satin lip color, it could pull it together. You know, I think like any of those things individually could work, but just not together.
Yeah, orange right, and
that
pink.
Was my,
just
that
from
was
a
my
color
hot
theory.
Take.
Just from a color theory standpoint, orange and pink
look good together.
Good
Matt,
no.
Casey, this breakdown was incredible. And frankly, you've opened my eyes to the problematic nature of Bayonetta's makeup in Bayonetta 3.
I was wondering why she looked more like Paris Hilton from like 90s reality TV than Bayonetta right? with the pictures. Yep.
It does. It looks like you know, it looks like night, like bright. It's the frosted pink lip, I yep, think, yeah. that like really
ruins everything.
Throws it out. Frosty, cool toned, light pastel. That's not in right now at all.
No.
I'm sorry.
Casey, thank you so much for coming back and like bringing
my
us
hot
this,
take.
This gift. And I think we should like break out and have it on the IGN Games channel.
Absolutely. Like, yeah.
Because that was amazing. I mean, the next game we're going to talk about, I don't think has any makeup in it at all that I know of. And that's Kirby and the Forgotten Land, but lots of pink. So who's looking forward
Kirby
to Kirby
pulls
and the Forgotten
it off very
Land?
Well.
Kirby pulls it off. Yeah. It's very easy. There's nothing. There's no, you don't need
look.
To accent anything when you're just round.
I'm digging it. Look, the Kirby games tend to be simple, smaller experiences. And so I think, you know, when we saw this trailer, I think a lot of people are making the obvious joke about The Last of Us Kirby. And it's like this, you know, post-apocalyptic world, or all the humans are gone, or Kirby's or whatever used to live there. I think it'll be, I honestly think it'll be a fairly linear experience in the end, just kind of knowing how big these games can get. That said, you know, Kirby Air Ride had a very cool central open world-ish multiplayer element that Nintendo has never brought back. I would love to see something like that integrated again, but you know, it's obviously not a racer. It's a more exploration-heavy traditional Kirby game with stealing powers and all of that, not stealing rides.
Grand Theft Auto, Kirby Land. Kat, are you excited or have any opinions? Yeah.
This is the most excited I've been for a Kirby game in a very long time.
No kidding.
I think Kirby's great, actually. It's where Nintendo tends to get a little bit more experimental with its particular series. But I think this is the first full 3D Kirby game. Please yell at me in the comments if that's not accurate.
Well, they will.
And
just
it makes,
Air Rides hub world. Yeah.
And it makes me think about how... people are comparing it to Last of Us. I think that they're going for a definite Breath of the Wild kind of vibe, because that is also a post-apocalyptic game with a lot of green and a lot of nature and that kind of thing. And, you know, just this looks like the freshest take on Kirby in a very long time. It's quite beautiful. It's almost toy-like with the worlds and the dioramas. Even though it's a green post-apocalypse, it's not grim, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm really into it. And if this is the year of Kirby, then let's go.
Let's do it.
But do you think it's, do you think it's like hub world and exploration? Or do you like, it seems like the camera is still kind of fixed and follows Kirby around the corners. And so maybe they're branching parts.
I think it might be like Mario 64 pair where they have the hub world maybe. That you explore. And then you go into individual worlds to do the levels because you saw how different some of the environments were. You know, there was a snow level and that kind of thing. And there were different courses for you to go through. So they might be, you might be right, Pear. Like this might not be a full open world game. It might be a hub and spokes kind of experience.
Yeah.
It gives me a Astrobot adventure vibe for the great PlayStation 5 tech demo. But
awesome game. I love that game.
Yeah.
The most Nintendo PlayStation game ever made.
True fact. Yeah,
that is true.
Yeah, I love this. This is my most anticipated Kirby game ever.
Oh, I thought you were going to say your most anticipated game.
And no. That, by far, no.
We'll get to that one.
That's another one, yeah.
Mm.
Casey, do you have any thoughts on this?
I'm looking forward to seeing more about the gameplay and hoping that there is a co-op option like there often is in Kirby games because I always have a lot of fun with co-op Kirby games.
Mm. Yeah.
Good point. It's
just so cute. Everything about it. The apocalypse has never looked cuter. The fall of humankind has never been more.
We'll find wonderful. Out at the end of the game. It was all Kirby's fault.
He just ate everybody on accident. And now.
This game's beautiful.
I don't know, though, because, yeah, it does. It looks fantastic. And then I don't know that it would be humans, though, because it's got like a made up language and sort of weird. I don't know. I mean, like
Kirby, the Eldritch God.
I mean, we did learn that Kirby is immortal. It's canon because of Smash, right? That's so right. Maybe this is just like, this is what Kirby's life is like after all other sentient beings have been destroyed. And this is his life now.
The humans are dead.
I'm sorry.
Kirby is dead.
Oh, no.
I am monster. Yeah. Kirby. Now, this is probably the biggest Nintendo game of 2022. Probably the biggest Nintendo game since Nintendo Switch launched. Coming out in November, according to the Nintendo Voice Chat podcast, it was leaked. You might have seen that on the news. Of course, I'm talking about Breath of the Wild 2. I mean, who doesn't have an opinion on Breath of the Wild? But Kat, I would like you to start us off. I want to hear your thoughts on this upcoming release from the Nintendo Corporation.
It's not just the biggest Nintendo game coming out in 2022. And I do think it's coming out 2022. I think they will move heaven and earth to get it out for this particular holiday season. It is one of the two or three biggest games of 2022.
Yeah,
absolutely. In general, it's the big tentpole release for the Nintendo Switch. Everybody was saying that the Switch was missing last year. And even if Zelda still actually might not be up to Mario standards in terms of sales, I would argue that it is the flagship series among core gamers, whatever that means. So we still know next to nothing about this series, but everything, or about this particular game, but everything we see of it just looks fascinating in terms of how the world is done. It's an opportunity to update a formula that has just become incredibly entrenched in AAA gaming space. I have no doubts that Nintendo will crush this game, that it will be an amazing game because, I mean, they've been working on it for quite a while at this point, and I think they know what's at stake. They're not going to screw this one up, but I think it's a given. I'm really looking forward to Breath of the Wild 2. Hot take.
When was it that we first saw the first trailer for this?
2019.
Oh my God.
Was it, or was it? Yeah, it was 2019, I think.
Yeah. It seems like so long. And it's so weird that Nintendo would show us something that early. I mean, just, you know, not show us anything forever, make us all want.
Well, I mean, there was that little pandemic thing that was probably messing
things up. Oh, that old chestnut. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But I think it's also a reaffirmation of direction, right? They did give us a remake of Link's Awakening. And so I think they wanted to make sure that they will continue this kind of open world quest game with emergent gameplay.
Yeah.
Just to make sure there's no confusion.
It's gorgeous. I mean,
Look, I mean, you already, the short trailer shows so many little upgrades to the things that are possible in the world, right? There's the object manipulation. There's like, you know, the verticality aspect. And I just, that first scene of Link jumping in, he is really high up in the sky.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite moments in the original Breath of the Wild was when you fly, you basically, you parasail after one of the dragons. And it's just like, that's something that has never existed in a game before. The way you were pursuing the dragon in the air without, you know, the ability of flight. It was just kind of like using the currents and all that. That was so freaking cool. And like, if they start with that and then maybe there's another flight element in this game. Ooh, I can't wait.
The question I have about Breath of the Wild is it going to be Breath of the Wild, but more, or is it going to be Majora's Mask? And based on the trailers that I've seen, it seems like actually more of the former than the latter. It doesn't seem like they're actually going to get weird with this one. I see a lot of elements of Breath of the Wild, but they're just being built upon and iterated upon.
Yeah, sure. And then maybe it is a little bit more about height than, you know, the horizontal exploration. But it's always tough to tell with these trailers, right? Like, if you watched an early trailer of Breath of the Wild, you wouldn't have known about the Blood Moon stuff and like the whole kind of like these weird, like very cool elements in the game. And they must be holding back so much here. Like, notice how they're basically only showing us enemies we already know. And
right.
Yeah. And you know, there'll be plenty of new stuff here.
Yeah. Casey, what do you have to say about the unnamed Breath of the Wild sequel?
I just started thinking, what would people prefer? Breath of the Wild, but more, or Breath of the Wild in the style of Majora's Mask, where a totally new mechanic and tone is taken with the game? And I don't know what a majority of people would prefer.
I think if you gave them, people
just want more.
Yeah.
I think if you gave them Breath of the Wild, but with good dungeons, they'd be like, game of the year. Here we go.
That's it. And like, yeah, when we all replayed Skyward Sword, right? Like, what struck me about this game was how, again, like how disconnected and not great the overworld was, but then how cool the kind of singular experiences in the dungeons were. And like, as much as we said Zelda was getting stale, and you know, some of that even came up with Twilight Princess, where it's like, yeah, it's like every Zelda game before, but just bigger. But is that necessarily better? I really appreciated that Breath of the Wild did something different, but there was always this pang of, but I really loved the themed temples and dungeons, like the kind of like the wood and the fire theme and the, you know, the forest theme. Like, I think what most fans would say is their number one pick to be added back into the franchise, but I wouldn't want to miss all that cool emergent stuff that they put in there.
Yeah. I'm most looking forward to this game, not only because like it's going to be amazing and I'm going to lose myself in it and just play it for, you know, hours and hours and hours, but also I just love the stories that people tell about playing. Like, if you search on YouTube, there's this great somebody animated a story that Brian Altano's telling to Jose about like when he got the skeleton horse. And it's this hilarious story, and the animation is really great. But like, I just love that sort of stuff where you tell a story that's unique to you. Like, I always talk about one of the things that I loved the most was when I was just out in a field on the edge of the woods and it started to rain and there was a deer eating, and the deer just looked up and like acknowledged the rain. And that just felt so incredible and real and alive to me that I still tell that story every time Breath of the Wild comes up. But for me, man, this is like, yeah, this is going to take up all my time, and I can't wait to spend 6 weeks of NVC talking about it. Casey, are you going to be doing the guide for this, or is it too early to know?
I think that is I will be working on it with Brendan Graber.
Oh, nice.
Because that's how it was with the original one. I was actually in the middle of doing the Horizon guide, and they pulled me off that to start working on Breath of the Wild instead when I was like halfway through to help Brendan. So I assume that will be the strat this time. I'm not 100% sure, but I will definitely be playing it and definitely be helping with the guide. I think this will be an all hands on deck.
Oh yeah,
guide for
there's
us,
so much to find.
Everyone on the team will be working on
Breath
this.
Of the Wild.
And we will.
Yeah,
we'll recruit you guys too. So be prepared.
Oh, boy.
What were you gonna say, Kat?
No, Breath of the Wild, it's not a hot take to say it's one of the deepest experiences that we've had in many, many years. There was just so many secrets to find, so much to do in that game. It was kind of the ultimate guide game for a lot of different websites.
Crazy.
Over at US Gamer, a bunch of our Breath of the Wild stuff was up at near the top of our traffic for years and years. That game just held up.
Yeah.
I'm just excited. Oh, sorry, Kavir.
I was just going to say, I think that was the case at IGN too. The Breath of the Wild, like, wiki guide was like the number one trafficked anything on the site for like 3 years. So,
well, still today
is the number one trafficked, like, piece of content. No kidding.
Yeah, a lot of people are going back to it too.
Breath of the Wild, over the Christmas break, people just take time off and play lots of games. And it was Breath of the Wild and Halo were the two biggest still after all these years.
Breath of the Wild.
Yeah. Crazy. Huh.
I didn't mean to make that terrible joke, but I did. And now I have to sit here.
Yeah, that's right.
I was just going to say, I'm excited for the social event that this release will be.
Yeah. And another great thing about it is because it is so, everyone's experience is different. There's not that sort of pressure that you feel, you know, when like a show comes out, like Book of Boba Fett, you have to watch that the night before, or you can't use social media, or like a more linear game. Like you have to play that the weekend it comes out, or you go online and you miss out on everything.
It just means that you won't be able to use social media for a month instead of a day.
Yeah.
Everybody will be talking about Breath of the Wild too and spoiling it for a month or two when it comes out.
All right. That's fine. It is what it is. But those are our biggest Nintendo Switch games of 2022. Now we can talk about predictions. Casey, what are your predictions for 2022 coming from Nintendo?
All right. Well, you already heard one of them. I'm sure we're going to learn about the next gen of Pokemon sometime this year. It may even come out this year if it's followed the formula since the release of Black and White in 2010. Since then, we've been getting a new Pokemon generation every 3 years. So let's assume. We can assume. and if not November, then early the following year. That's my prediction for that. I think we're going to get a new Mario game for the holiday season to go with the movie that comes out on December
21st. Yeah.
And I think we're going to get a Metroid Prime 4 trailer at E3 for a 2023 release.
Please.
And those are about all of my predictions. You know, I think I was thinking, like, will we learn about a new console entirely? And we're not quite at that mark. We generally get a new Nintendo console every 6 years, so it's not time. So those are my predictions.
Excellent. Pear, you look in a predictive nature.
Oh, I'll make five different predictions from like the more realistic,
non-binding.
These are non-binding. Number one prediction is a new Fire Emblem will be announced within the next 3 months. It'll be a remake. I'm thinking maybe it's time to bring back Path of Radiance from the GameCube, which shame, ding, 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 nobody played. It was a great game. Remember they did Fire Emblem Echoes with Shadows of Valentia, which was a remake of Gaiden. It didn't do that well, so I don't think they're going to follow that nomenclature of like using Echoes to bring back games. I think they'll just present it as if it was a new game and nobody will ever notice. Anyway, there'll be a new Fire Emblem. I'm sure they're working on a full one, but like this kind of re-release thing makes all the sense in the world when so many great Fire Emblem games. There are lots more than Super Famicom haven't been played. Drink whenever I say Super Famicom. I know. Metroid Prime Trilogy will be released to keep the brand alive, which means Metroid Prime 4 will be announced for, will be a holiday 2022 game, 2023. Sorry, it's not going to come out this year. I don't think Metroid Prime is this year. It's not close to being done. Otherwise, we'd be hearing something, right? But Trilogy, despite all the, it's hard to adapt to the Switch controls, I think is just one of those no-brainer games. It looks fantastic visually still, and somebody can figure out how to make it work with modern controllers, with the Joy-Con. Because remember, it was originally, most of these games were on GameCube, and motion controls are doable. Breath of the Wild 2 will be Nintendo's big holiday game, but complete with a big box special edition and a golden Switch.
Oh, don't say that.
A golden Switch OLED?
Yeah, no, yes. There you go.
Wild.
Nintendo has a long history.
That's so credible, too.
Of gold cartridge and gold system releases. I have a golden N64 sitting in box. If anybody wants to give me millions of dollars for it, I don't think they're that expensive, actually. I think they're just like $200. But I think it's time for Nintendo to celebrate its biggest game in Switch history with a biggest release. So I do think you'll get that giant box, and I do think you get a special Switch.
So.
Two more predictions. One, The Legend of Zelda Four Swords Adventures will come exclusively to Nintendo Online, episodically with four-player online play. We have not gotten a multiplayer Zelda game since the 3DS age, where we had an oddball three-player adventure. Four Swords. Yeah. The Four Swords games were always way better. And Four Swords Adventures was a lovely game. It is quite modern in its look. It could be easily adapted. And Nintendo desperately needs fuel for Nintendo Online. And this one would work just nice. And then finally, this is my out there prediction, because I'm willing it into existence. Nintendo and Sega will team up for a remaster of F-Zero GX/AX. Ooh. Sadly, Toshihiro Nagoshi won't be involved because he quit and he's now working at NetEase. So, you know, he's no longer at the Yakuza studio. But, you know, that shouldn't stop anybody from adapting this game, because they honestly just need to get it to run on Switch, because it looks very, very modern. It's beautiful. And maybe they'll add an easier difficulty mode so people don't get so mad. And unlock the AX tracks from the beginning. They were hidden in the GX game, but nobody ever got to them because that game was so hard.
Those are awesome predictions.
That's it.
Kat, what have you got? Your predictive powers.
Well, Paris stole all of my predictions. So I'll react to some of the predictions, and I'll make at least one. I don't think that a new Pokemon generation is coming out this year, just because it would be directly in tandem with Breath of the Wild 2, probably. Mm. And I think that's a big one. I think that Nintendo might want to clear the decks a bit when it comes to the release schedule at that time. But I guess we'll see. Also, that would be two major Pokemon releases in 1 year. I do think that Gen 8 will be out next year, but I think that it will not be early next year. I think it'll be late next year based on the marketing cycles that we usually see from the Pokemon company.
I guess I'm a little bit confused about what their cycle should have been too, because I feel like BDSP was supposed to come out earlier in the year, and Arceus was supposed to be a holiday game.
Mm.
I think it was supposed to be moved up, but everything was pushed back because of the pandemic. So now I don't know what is actually going on.
I think the pandemic can slow down. That's why I don't think we will see a new gen after 3 years. We'll see it after 4 years. But
yeah,
I think that we'll see a Metroid Prime remaster, but I think it'll be the original Metroid Prime. I don't think it will be a trilogy. I agree that there will be a Fire Emblem remake of some kind, probably Genealogy of the Holy War. I think we'll get a couple of Fire Emblem games potentially, actually. And I think that my final prediction is that Nintendo Switch Online will add Game Boy this year. So, and I think it'll be on the base tier. I don't think it'll be part of the expansion pack.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. That was one of my predictions, was they were going to add Game Boy. And I was going to say that would be on the N64 tier, the expensive expansion, because they want more people to sign up for that.
So you get the Game Boy on the base tier, and then
Game Boy Advance,
Pokemon Stadium on the N64, and then have them connect. Okay,
that would be really cool.
You're an evil businesswoman.
That would be wonderful
if they did that.
That'd be pretty fun.
And then hand over the entire Nintendo Online emulation to M2, please, because they did the Genesis emulation and it's wonderful, but that's not really a big surprise. My other prediction is that we will start to see, probably by the end of the summer, credible hardware rumors about the Switch successor. Not just, it's going to be 4K and NVIDIA has this big chip, but like credible, actual good rumors about it. And I don't think it'll come out this year, and I don't think it'll be announced at all, because they don't want to step on the toes of Breath of the Wild 2. But I will say that I'm sticking to this. We will see a trailer for Metroid Prime 4, and then we won't hear anything about it because it will be pushed back as a launch for the next Nintendo console. That's my long form prediction. So there it is. And, you know, put a mark on this one, dog ear this episode, so you can go back to it and tell us how wrong we were on everything when none of these come true. So, all right. Now, one of the best segments that we have, it is time for the cat take, the first cat take of 2022.
Seth, 2022 yes. will be the apex of the Nintendo Switch generation.
Oh, really?
It will be the peak, and after that, it will be all downhill from here in terms of both releases and sales. But you know what? If we're going to have a, what, five-year peak, that's great. That's amazing. Oh, yeah. For Nintendo.
That's insane.
It will bookend 2017 in so many ways. We're going to Splatoon 3. We're going to get Breath of the Wild 2. This is where Nintendo is firing all of their bullets, and it's going to be great. Honestly, I actually agree with Pear. I wouldn't be shocked if we got a special golden Nintendo Switch or some kind of commemorative thing. And I don't know if we'll start to see rumors of a new console next year. Maybe we'll see Switch Pro rumors, but it's hard. Like, what does Nintendo have after this year, right? Like, Breath of the Wild 2 is the thing that we've been looking forward to for some years at this point. And I imagine that there will be one more big surge of sales, but in some ways, the Nintendo Switch has almost topped out in terms of its install base. I think it's a pretty impressive accomplishment that Nintendo has managed to retain its sales momentum to this point, honestly. But especially as the new consoles get kind of bedded in and everything, Starfield is coming out later this year, and that's going to be an absolutely enormous game, one of the biggest games released this year. So I think that it's going to be a joyous and wonderful year, and I'm so happy to have it. But this is it. This is the bookend of the Nintendo Switch generation. And you know what? I look forward to what's next.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think I agree with you. And I think that the decline will be rapid and horrible, and Nintendo will just forget all about it and move on to the next thing in spite of all of its successes. But yeah,
this I hear Nintendo some... Switch were the indies that we played along the way.
What's going on? What happened? What?
For those of you who are just listening, two enormous dogs have come to attack Pear.
I don't know what they want.
They're just
want.
Some dog snouts.
Why? What do you want?
Like, oh yay! We've got giant horse dogs.
Puppy. I don't know what they want. What do you want? You want some? Aki, you want to give them some?
Well, they were all so excited about Nintendo having such a great year.
That's it.
They had to come in.
That was the cheer club, and Midna probably heard us talk about Zelda and came running in.
Yeah.
I'm really curious about Nintendo's year going forward. Like, we haven't, you know, obviously they released a little Game & Watch Zelda unit, but
You
can also expect them to continue to tinker with little side projects like that, you know? I mean, we had Labo, we had the NES Classic, Super NES, like, you know, we got the N64 controllers for Nintendo Online. Like, they keep on making these little hardware innovations, and I bet they'll be something fun. You know, to kind of...
Is the Mario movie this year?
Huh?
Is Chris Pratt Mario out this year?
Yeah.
Nintendo's going to be all transmedia going forward between their amusement parks and their VR projects and their Mario. That is the future of Nintendo right there.
Yeah, for sure.
So you think the Switch will sell more this year than it did in 2021?
I think that there will be a pretty big surge with Breath of the Wild 2, especially if they can get a lot of OLEDs into stock.
Yeah.
True.
I was going to say, yeah, if they can get the OLEDs into stock, people will, you know, refresh their old dusty old Switches like I did.
Yeah.
And the consoles, the PlayStation 5, they've already said, like, look, it's not going to be readily available till probably 2023. And that's not going to change, you know, barring some sort of, you know, you can't just flick on a Switch. There's so many moving parts to just make every component of that. So yeah, I think Switch is probably going to have its sales wise. I think this will be its best year ever.
I keep going back to the Wii days where, like, if you look at the top 10 selling games on Wii, it's actually really notable how different of a lineup it is from the Switch top 10, because the Wii was defined by a lot of the motion, the more kind of casual mainstreamy games, but you know, There was Wii Sports. There was Wii Sports Resort, Wii Play, Wii Fit, Wii Fit Plus. They were all in the top 10, all of them selling more than 20 million units. And like, you're seeing what's happening with Ring Fit Adventure. Ring Fit, it's a great game, right? It's obviously, it's an exercise game. And it was strong out of the gate, but it could have really blown up if it wasn't so inventory constrained.
Yeah.
And like, I honestly think we'll see a little bit more movement on that mainstream market side, where more people are going to pick up Switch for games that aren't like Mario and Zelda, and that could become very big. And remember, the biggest selling Wii Mario game was a 2D game, New Super Mario Brothers Wii. And like, there's still room for Switch to stake its claim there too.
The evil genius of the Nintendo Switch, Casey, is that it is a system that you attach to your TV, but spiritually it is a handheld system. Mm. And so it is a system that you want to own and want to have as your personal thing. So it is natural to have two or three Nintendo Switches in a household, whereas you'd probably only get maybe one PlayStation 5 in a household. Right. So there is a lot of impetus to double dip with the Nintendo Switch, which I think a lot of people will probably be, if they can, replacing their launch Switches this year. I replaced mine last year. I'd added to the sales. And at this point, I think that's like four Nintendo Switch consoles that have been purchased in my house at one point or another. It's wild.
Really good point. Plus, you'll upgrade to the gold version in November.
Oh, hell yeah. No,
yeah, you're completely right. And then it also includes, you have the Switch Lite, and the Switch OLED, and some people might have all three.
Yeah.
So, completely right.
Yeah. The only thing that comes close is I know some people who have a Series X, like, in their living room, and then a Series S, or, in their bedroom. But, no, we have three Switch consoles in this house. There's our dusty old launch one. There's the one that the boys got for Pokemon Let's Go. And then there's the OLED that I got. So, yeah.
We have four in my household.
I don't want to say.
Well, you got them for
You have
Joy-Con.
To now, because you mentioned it. You brought it up.
I don't even know. I honestly don't know.
You've lost track.
No, because I did get some for the special Joy-Con. And then, you know, they become kind of upgrades for my kids. Because there was the upgraded battery model, so they became hand-me-downs for the kids. But yeah, I don't know. I have to check.
I like it. You go into Pear's kitchen and open up the junk drawer, and there's like scissors and some needles and thread in there, and then like just switches all That's over right. the place. Deck of cards, some camera film for some reason.
Yeah, no, for sure.
All right. Let's talk about what we've been playing. I didn't play very much of Nintendo over the break, and I'm sorry for that. I did start Paper Mario though, and that is extremely charming. And I was down shopping at Bull Moose Music in Brunswick, Maine. Shout out to Bull Moose Music, and they had Sonic and Sonic 2 for Game Gear. Since I have the Game Gear adapter for the Analog Pocket, I bought them both, and they are surprisingly competent versions of Sonic games. Although Sonic 1, when you get hit and lose all your rings, you only lose one ring because they hadn't figured their way around the memory constraints. But yeah, those are fun games. Pear, you have also been on a Nintendo.
Hold on, let me consult my playlist on IGN, currently in testing.
Oh yeah, that's right.
We have a feature we're releasing where you can track the games that you're currently playing. So I started Death Store, I started Paper Mario, and then I got completely, and Shovel Knight Pocket Dungeon we talked about last time, and SMT, and then I got completely sucked into Xbox games over the break. I've only been playing Forza Horizon 5, which is just so amazing, and then Halo.
Game of the Year.
Halo as well, Halo single player, Forza everything. So I completely ignored my Switch, and then my son saw an opening and stole my SWOLED. And he's been playing, what's he been playing? He's been playing Death Store and some other stuff, games that he doesn't have on his Switch, which I said, yeah. And I told him we could get them, but he just likes stealing stuff.
There's something primal about that. Yeah.
So I haven't seen my Switch OLED in like a whole week. He's been swiping.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, the good news is they're impossible to get. So if you need to replace it, you're completely out of luck. So
yeah, no, he got into, he also played Into the Breach, which I think he's played millions of hours off and he went back to, which is a really good game that a lot of people.
That's by overlooked. Is that the one by the makers of FTL?
Was it?
I needed to start that and I never do. I did not know it was on Switch. So now that
It's like a compact turn-based strategy roguelike.
Okay, yeah. FTL is one of my all-time favorite games.
It's probably an amazing game. One of the best tactics games that has come out in the past several years. Yeah,
I'm going to get this then.
Yeah, it's great.
Mm-hmm. All right. Casey, you have been actually playing Nintendo games. You came in.
I have.
What have you been playing over the break?
Just Monster Hunter. No, I'm kidding. I played a bunch of other games. I also played Shin Megami Tensei 5. Finally, I was able to put some time into that. I'm only about 12 hours in, but I am loving it. It is extremely a Casey game, and I'm actually liking it more than Persona because your goal is to collect monsters and make stronger monsters and to get to the next area to see what new stuff you can find. And then I just really love that kind of mechanic where I'm always looking forward to the new thing and doing everything I can and just seeing those possibilities. It's kind of like gacha without the loot boxes, you know? And there's always new things to find. It's challenging enough so that every battle is interesting. It is not mindless. You try to put auto battle, you will get murdered. It's not. So you have to pay attention, and it's every battle is interesting. I'm really, really liking it a lot. I wish I had played it sooner, but I'm going to keep playing this game because I love it. I'm sure Kat has already talked about it a ton. And so I'm sure it's been talked about a ton on NVC. So I'm sure you know what I'm going to say about it. I also played Death's Door. I'm also liking it. I'm also continuing to play it. So here's the thing. I don't finish a lot of games unless it is for work where I really, really like it. So if I keep playing a game after the first couple of hours, I really like it. So I really like SMT5 and I really like Death's Door. And Nintendo, I played like 35 hours of 7 Days to Die.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Wow. We got into a group. I had three people to play with, and it's a co-op crafting survival zombie game. And I don't know, we just had a lot of fun with it over the break. But yeah, Death's Door and SMT5, like, really, really loving both of those experiences. And like I said, I have been continuing to play Monster Hunter Rise. They have new emergency event quests with the Apex monsters and a new Magna Malo quest as well. And these are actual challenges. They are actually challenging. They kicked my butt. I stream, and I generally don't cart when I play Monster Hunter Rise, especially on stream. I don't know, the adrenaline just fuels me, and also I get lucky, and I got wrecked multiple times. Like, it doesn't happen. So now I have something to actually work for and a reason to get better in that game and to make better sets and maybe learn different weapons, because I've been using the same stuff for the last 60 hours in that game because I haven't felt like I needed to make better stuff, and now I do, and I think that's cool.
That's awesome. Real quick, what's your stream channel so people can watch?
You can watch me and find me at ShinyKCD.
Nice.
Same as my Twitter.
That makes it easy. Kat, what have you been playing in your new house?
I spent a bunch of time moving over the holidays, so I didn't necessarily
have... The worst way to spend time.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it's great, though.
I had made a resolution to finally finish Persona 5 over the holidays, and I still haven't finished Persona 5. Instead, I got sucked into Dragon Quest XI S on my Nintendo Switch. Yeah, because I was
good?
I needed something on my Switch to be able to play, and I wasn't super interested in getting back into Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. So I got back into Dragon Quest XI S, and there's just something about that game that hits just right. Like, first of all, it is one of the most beautiful games on the Nintendo Switch. It is so gorgeous. I'm constantly impressed by the models, the characters, the enemies. And there's a long point with this game where I was like, wow, this game is so slow, that kind of thing. And maybe it's because I'm reading The Lord of the Rings or something. Maybe I have a lot more tolerance for the feel of Dragon Quest XI S, but yeah. I've just been having a wonderful, wonderful time with it. It is a lovely game. I'm well into Act 2, and I'm hoping that I can get into, like, finish it before, you know, Pokemon Legends or some of the other big games come out this year, because I'm making a real effort to get through my backlog as much as possible. As a side note, as a weird and random thing, I discovered that Pac-Man Championship Edition got a demake as part of the Namco game collection.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. It was by M2.
I love that game.
Yeah. I got into a high score battle with my friend, and we were just going back and forth, sharing screenshots of our scores, right? I think we topped out at about 450K, which is, you could get a bit higher than that, but it's pretty tough. It becomes a series of diminishing returns because of the time limit. But
yeah,
it was a very fun week of just swapping screenshots back and forth and being like, yeah, I topped you. No, I beat you. Ho ho, here we go. Mm-hmm. So that was my very weird retro fun moment. But yeah, Pac-Man Championship Edition D-Meg. It's really, really good. It's
fun, I'm going to have to get into now. Mm-hmm. I have to revisit mm-hmm. that. I got into a score battle with the original one on, what was that, Xbox 360 Arcade with Ryan Scott, former IGN editor from like a million years ago. Yeah. Oh, my God. Look at this. Oh,
isn't it gorgeous?
I need this in my life. I love this game so much.
And the only thing that's a bummer is that it doesn't have online scoreboards, which is ridiculous.
No.
Those monsters.
That the best part of the original was that, right? That's how I got good, was I would just watch the number one player's replay and then just copy their style. And man, okay.
Same. The original had such a great feel, the way like movement, the speed and everything felt, and like the thumping of the music with the
good
maze. Is that all gone from the
DNA? No, it's still there. Oh yeah. The sound effects and the music are perfect. It is a lovely game.
Excited. All right, I have to check this out. But we have to get on to question block, and we have time for one question. And I think I'm going to ask this question because I think it's kind of an easy one to answer. Neil Tracy asks, do you think there's any chance the next Switch wouldn't be backward compatible with the current Switch library? No, it will 100% be backwards compatible with the current Switch library. However, Nintendo, that's all I'm going to say.
I think if it has Switch in the title, it will be backwards compatible with other Switch games.
I think that's,
I mean, look at their most recent years. The only times that they weren't backwards compatible was like up till, you know, when they switched to discs, basically. Like NES, Super NES, you couldn't use the cartridges. Super NES to N64, N64 to GameCube. And then GameCube onwards, every format was supported, even with some difficulty with, you know, Wii putting that tiny disc in the drive and all of that. So I you know, at this point, I think they'll continue to make it backwards compatible for a while, I'd hope.
Yeah. What do you think, Kat?
I think it depends on what direction that Nintendo ends up going. If they decide to blow it all up and go in a very experimental direction, which never say never,
right,
with Nintendo, then no, I don't think it'll be backwards compatible. But I think it's more likely that we'll get something akin to a Switch Pro, almost like a phone upgrade, as it were, where it is more powerful, maybe even a better screen. But functionally speaking, it is still a Nintendo Switch and still plays all of the old software on top of the new software. And the Switch Pro, quote unquote, might be the next gen Switch. It might be the equivalent of buying a PS4 Pro, but they're just like, so we're just going to ride this for a while. You're going to play Breath of the Wild 3 on here at a certain point.
Oh.
And meanwhile, Nintendo focuses on its transmedia properties. Because I've been kind of banging this drum over the past year. I think Nintendo has become a more conservative company than, you know, in terms of the way that they're approaching things. I don't think that's the way that it was back in the Iwata days, where they were kind of experimenting for the sake of experimenting. And in a way, they've kind of lost something because of that. But so I think it's going to be a different company. Now, they haven't always executed well on their ideas, but that's a different conversation.
Right. Talk about the old Wii U another time. But
Not today, because that is all the time that we have left for this inaugural episode of Nintendo Voice Chat. Follow us on Twitter at NVC Podcast. Submit your question block questions on the NVC Facebook group. And thank you to our guest, Shiny KCD, Casey DeFritas, back again. Everyone is going to be extremely happy in the comments, and that makes me happy. I want to thank Red, who is IGN's premier Power Blade on the NES player. Go find the Nintendo Power Online. He's in there. Or excuse me, the Nintendo Power Online. Anyway, I want to thank Logan behind the scenes. And most of all, I want to say thank you to you for all hanging out with us. And remember, NBC is the only place where you can
get the thing.
The thing.
Which is Picross.
22, everybody.
Picross. Picross on Monday.
New year. Picross on Monday.
Yeah, new Picross. Yes.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.